indeed. Man, I'm telling you, Brother J.D., I'm just so thankful to stand here today. Drowning in my sin 16 years ago, headed straight to a devil's hell. I seen church folk. They were getting beer out of the same cooler I was getting it out of. They were smoking the same dope I was smoking. Going to church on Sunday, but heaven was their home. I said, I can't live that way. I know that ain't right. Now, they digging in the same cooler I'm digging in. They getting the dope from the same dope dealer I'm getting dope from, but yet they going to heaven. I said, something ain't right. Hold up, wait a minute, something. I know that I'm lost. I know that I'm headed to hell at that moment. And I walked into an old-timey Baptist church, and a man got stood up and told me about the blood of Jesus Christ. And when He saved you from your sin, that there'd be something new that came inside of you, and it would be the Holy Ghost of heaven, and He would come inside of you, and there'd be a change in your life. Man, when He got on me that day, I'm telling you, it ain't never been the same. People look at me different. I've lost some of the crowd I used to have, Brother Roy. Don't hang with who I used to hang with. Can I get an amen? Don't do what I used to do. Boy, I'm telling you this morning, I stand before you fired up, ready to go, but I'm going to hold back. I'm going to be dignified, and I'm going to act like I got a little bit of sense. And then I realized I was at home, amen? You can act like you want to at home. Can I get a witness? Amen. Matthew chapter number 14. Boy, I thank God He saved me. Let me tell you what Satan told me all week long. All week long I've been battling this brain. He's been looking at me. Matthew 14, verse number 22 is where we're going to be at. Brother Hush, let me tell you what Satan's told me all week long. All week long I've been sitting there. Brandy said, you okay? I said, I'm fine. She said, what's wrong with you? I said, there ain't nothing wrong with me. Are you upset? I said, I'm not upset. Why ain't you talking? I said, I'm thinking. What are you thinking about? Man, there's a lot going on in this peanut brain. Amen. If my brain was bigger, I could handle more. Maybe talk when I think, but I couldn't. And the only thing old Satan's been telling me all week long, listen to me this morning, this may be you. All week long he told me, he said, you ain't saved. I was there when you got saved. I was there when you said you got saved. Hey, if you were saved, you would remember the prayer that you prayed. If you were saved, you would remember the prayer verbatim, word for word, what you prayed. And I reminded Satan, a prayer's not what saved me. It was the blood of Jesus Christ that saved me from my sin. It wasn't the prayer that I prayed. It was just the avenue to get me there. He said, I was there when you got saved that night. I was in that altar when you got saved that night. I was the one that was telling you that you couldn't live it. You didn't deserve it. I was the one witnessing in your ear all night long. I said, you're exactly right. He said, how do you know you're saved? You can't even remember the prayer you prayed. You don't know a whole lot. And I said this, there's one thing I remember. I remember the hand of God touched my life. I remember He reached down from heaven and saved me from my sin, and I ain't never been the same. Can I get a witness? Can I get an amen this morning? If you've been saved, give God a hand clap of praise in this place. If you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, these little kids up here, they're clapping. They know something good's going on. Amen. And man, I got thinking about that day that I got saved. And I got thinking about 16 years ago I got saved, 23 years ago I got married. And I got thinking, I have to be saved because I was there. Because I was there and Jesus was there and I called on His name and He saved my soul from a devil's hell. He had to be present for me to be saved. There's no way that I'm married to Him. There's no way that I am His bride. There's no way that I'm in there. There's no way that I'm not in the body of Christ because I was there that day. The day me and my wife got married, if I would have not have went, that preacher could not have married us. If I would have not have attended, if she would have stood there in front of the congregation and stood there to be married and her groom was not there, it wouldn't have worked. He wouldn't have married her. It takes both parties to be there. And that day in my life, Brother J.D., August the 27th, 2007, I went in that night not expecting to receive anything, not expecting to get nothing. I want you to know I was drowning in my sins. The Bible said I was dead. I was dead in my sins. I didn't need a life raft. I didn't need CPR. I didn't need to be resuscitated. I needed a Savior. I needed a Savior. I needed Jesus. I needed to be washed clean. And the Bible told me, who the Son sets free is free indeed. I didn't need a rope. I didn't need encouragement. I didn't need a right hand. I didn't need picked up. I needed the Savior. I needed Jesus. And He came down that day and He met my greatest need. He saved me from a devil's hell. He saved me that day. He said, preacher, you act like you're excited about it. Well, I don't know what he gave me that day, and he didn't give all y'all, but he gave me something that all y'all can have. Amen. You say, I ain't that excited about my salvation. You're just a little overwhelmed today because it's that day. I'm overwhelmed every day because of that day. That day that I was going to hell, and he reached down from heaven and saved me, brought me back. My sin was that black, but he saved me. I want to preach this morning, what do you do when the storms of life are raging? What do you do when the storms of life are raging? What do you do this morning when the storms of life are raging and it's out of control and you don't know where to go and you don't know where to turn? Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter number 14. We're going to begin reading in verse number 22, if you will. I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word. If you're lost in here this morning, you say, preacher, if you've got an I don't know attitude, you're probably lost. Because if you was there and you met Jesus, you know you met Him. Well, I just don't really know what I prayed. I'm not talking about what you prayed. Did you get saved? Did you have an encounter with God? And you knew that Jesus sat down on you that day. Look what the Bible says in Matthew chapter number 14 and verse number 22. The Bible says, and straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship and to go before Him unto the other side. And while He sent the multitudes away, and when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, He was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. I say to you tonight, Jesus will come right where you're at. You don't have to go to where He is. He'll come right to your problem. He'll come right to your pain. He'll come right to the separation that's in your life. He says, but straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered Him and said, Lord, if it be Thou bid me come unto Thee on the water. And He said, come. There's not nobody that ever wanted to come to Jesus that He turned away. Anybody in this room today that needs to be saved and you just don't know about it, you listen to me this morning on the authority of God's Word. He'll bid anybody to come. Man, woman, boy, or girl, it don't matter. Hey, you can be saved this morning. And He said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, man, that's when we get in our old Christian life, ain't it? Hey, but when we see the wind, we see the troubles of this world. But when he saw the wind boisterous or strong, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, throw me a rope. Hey, Lord, throw me a hand. Hey, Lord, no. He said, Lord, I need a Savior that'll save me. He said, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him and said unto him, O thou little faith, wherefore did thou doubt? And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. Oh, our Father and our God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for August the 27th, 2007, that day you saved me from a devil's hell. Father, I've seen a lot go on in this world I've already lived in, but I've never had an experience like I did that day. Father, I know what the experience was like on the day of Pentecost. I know what it was like when the fire came down from heaven. I know what it was like when them old boys, they got infilled with the Holy Ghost. Father, Lord, I thank you for that day in my life that you sat down from heaven, even though the winds was boisterous, even though everything was blowing, even though I had so much going on, you quietened the storms in my life. Father God, you quietened all the naysayers. Father God, I thank you for that. I thank you for the blood of Jesus. I thank you that He's my Savior. He's my Redeemer. He's my Rescuer this morning. Father, I pray this morning, whoever's lost the joy of their salvation, I pray they get into an old-timey altar and they get their joy back. Hey, they get their jump back. Hey, they get the shout back. Father, Lord God, this morning, if we've been saved, we've got something to shout about. Yes. Oh, Father, I pray this morning that heaven looks in on this service and that it be pleased on the streets of gold. Have your will and way, and it be in Jesus' name I pray, and all of God's people say it. Amen. You may be seated this morning. The Bible says that the disciples were in the midst of the sea. Hey, Jesus had done took off and he sent them on and he went up into the mountain to pray. And the Bible says that he went alone. And when was the last time that you seen yourself alone with God? Hey, he went up into the mountain to pray and he sent them on. And as they went on to that sea and they got out on life's highway and the sea of life started coming their way, you know what happened? There arose a storm and the Bible said it was boisterous. It was a big old strong storm, and the winds were blowing, and they were coming in. This morning, you may have the winds of life blowing on your life, and oh, Satan's telling you to quit. Oh, Satan's telling you to get out and give up. Hey, it ain't worth it this morning. You might as well throw in the towel. You might as well get out. It ain't worth being a daddy that's a Christian. It ain't worth being a mama that's a Christian. It ain't worth being a Christian. I got good news this morning for Satan. Hey, the best thing I've ever done in my life is give my life to Jesus. When he saved me from a devil's hell, he saved me from my sin. Hey, the storm was raging and all kind of things were going on. Hey, but this morning I want to share with you, there's two places you can look when the storm is raging. There is two places that you can look to. And everybody in this room, you're either looking to one or the other when storms come in your life. You either look at one or the other. Number one, let's look at, you can look at the storm when it's raging. The Bible says this morning in verse number 30, at Peter, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he said, "Preacher, what happened?" Hey, that storm distracted Peter. Hey, the storm that was in his life, it distracted him. It got him off course. One minute he's walking on the water, and the next minute he's sinking. Hey, I say that's like a Christian. Amen. Hey, one moment we're on the mountaintop, and the next minute we're in the valley. One moment we're up here, and the next minute we're down there. Kind of like somebody on a diet. Can I get an amen? Hey, you get on the scales one day, and you're down 10. You get on the scales the next day, and you're up 12. And it says it's a back and forth yo-yo. And that's how our Christian life is. Hey, when we get our eyes on the storm, number one, it'll distract you. It'll distract your vision. You won't see what you used to see. And as clear as you used to see it, that vision will be distracted. Hey, but it'll distract your decisions. Instead of looking to Jesus and looking to what He can do in your life, your decisions have done got off. You done got where you can't handle the Word of God. You can't handle Jesus like you used to. And everything offends you. And you start sinking and you start going down. Hey, here it says it got his vision, but it also got his decision. Instead of trusting God, he became afraid and he didn't know what to do. Look at this. That storm will distract your vision. It'll distract your decisions. But the storm of life, if you're not careful, it will distract your destination. You know what he did? He said, "Lord, if it be you, bid me come." And Jesus said, "Come." "Lord, if it be you, bid me come." And Jesus says, "Come." Why did he? Because he couldn't lie. He said, "If it's you, let me come." And what did Jesus tell him? "Come on. It's who I am. Come on. Come on." Hey, that day I got saved, listen to me. He didn't give me a list of things to do when I came to Him. He didn't give me a list of things to do in my life. That day He was knocking on my heart's door, JD. You listen to me. He said, "Come." He didn't say, "Quit all this and then come." He said, "Come unto me, all you that are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And I want you to know this morning, it will distract you. Hey, but that storm of life, when it blows your way, not only will it distract you, but it will defeat you in your life. If you get your eyes on the storm all the days of, I don't care how long you've been saved, if you always look at the storm, number one, it'll distract you. Number two, it'll defeat you. Look with me in verse number 30. "But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink." He started sinking when he got his eyes on the storm. When he got his eyes on the storms of this life, he started sinking. He started sinking. This morning, I wonder who I'm talking to that is sinking right now. You know you're saved, but you're sinking so fast, it ain't even funny. You know that you're not where you need to be or where you used to be with Christ, and you're sinking like out of control, and you're sinking so fast, and you're sinking all the way down. Hey, this morning it'll defeat you. He overlooked the Savior. He became afraid. He was overwhelmed by the situation because he was afraid. But listen to this morning. He got overtook by the swell of life. It said that the water started overtaking him and he started sinking. This morning, if you look to the storm, it'll distract you, it'll defeat you, and the storm of life will destroy you in your life. I've seen it many times, the storms of life destroy people. Look at this. "But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid." Preacher, what are you talking about? What do you do when the storms of life come? You can look to the storm, but it'll destroy you. It destroyed his countenance. The once bragful, boastful, big old Peter is now crying to the Lord. I don't care how big a man you are in this place. I don't care your position in life. I don't care your standings in life, where you work or what you've got going on. When you get to the presence of God, you're no longer who you used to be. He will break you. He will mold you. He will make you. And He'll do things in your life that will allow you to see that He is the Maker, He is the Savior, and He is the one that you need. Here, that storm distracted him. It defeated him. But it was almost to the point it was going to destroy him. He got here and he started sinking. And I love in verse 30 what he said. Here's what he said. He said, "Save me." He didn't ask for a rope. He didn't ask for another boat. He didn't ask for his brothers and sisters to help him. He didn't put his burden on the people that were in the boat. "Hey, try to pull me back in." You listen to me this morning. I believe a lot of us Christians spend a lot of our time trying to pull people back in when Jesus is trying to do a work in their life. We see them sinking. We see them going under. We see them distracted. We see them defeated. We see them being destroyed physically and spiritually. And we're trying to pull them back in. And the Lord's saying, "I've got to teach them this way." You know what he did? He didn't call to the ones in the boat, Brother Roy. This morning you can call on your preacher all you want and it won't help you. You can call to your deacon buddy all you want and it won't help you. You can call to your spouse all you want and it won't help you. There's sometimes in life the only thing going to help you is say, "Jesus! Jesus! You're the one that I came to start with anyway. You're the ones I had my eyes on anyway. Save me! Save me!" When was the last time you was at a place in your life you said, "Lord, I'm sinking. Save me." Let me tell you something else Satan told me. And I hold a lot to this. I won't take it lightly. I'm all over the place. I know I am. But that's okay. I like being all over the place. Amen? If I just do one place, it may just be for you. But if I'm all over the place, I don't want a rifle shoot. I want a shotgun shoot it. You know what I'm saying? You rifle shoot and you're like, "Well, he's pointing at me." You shotgun shoot it, everybody gets hit. Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? Amen? That's how I have to deer hunt. Pray I hit something. But let me tell you what Satan told me this week. I'm 16 years saved. 16 years saved. I've not used crystal meth in 16 years. I've not used crystal meth in 16 years. And I know there's some visitors in here and you're thinking, "I'm not coming back to this church." You find you a church that's honest if you don't come back to this church. You find you a preacher telling you the truth and not hide behind his past and make you think everything's all right and he looks like he just walked off the streets of all dressed up. You make sure you find you a man of God that's going to tell you the truth when they preach you the Word of God. Here's what Satan told me. Man, he whispered me all week long. 16 years I've not used crystal meth. 16 years I've not drunk a beer. 16 years, none of these things that you list major. Amen? But there's still sin within. There's still sin within. I was going to get up today and brag on being 16 years clean of crystal meth. Haven't manufactured in 16 years. Boy, ain't that a blessing. Still got the head knowledge, but my hands just don't work it no more. See, there's things, kids, you listen to me, that you deal with right now. There's things you deal with right now. You say, "Oh, I'll get over it." You don't have to live with it the rest of your life. There's mistakes. There are choices we make. And we got to live with the rest of our life. Even though you get saved, you still got to live with it. Then it'll try to drown you every day of your life. So watch what the choices you make right now. I've not used in 16 years. And I want you to know there's people in here that works in the system. That's great and that's good. But because I've not used crystal meth, don't mean I'm saved. Because I've not drunk a beer, don't mean I'm saved. Because I've not done this list of things doesn't mean I'm not saved. Because I don't do them things points to that I am saved. What saved me? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God had raised who? Jesus from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. At that day in my life, you listen to me, I didn't know, Brother Frank, if I was going to stay clean. I didn't have a clue. All I knew was is I wanted to meet Jesus. I needed to be saved. I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. I was looking at the storms of life, everything going on. The shoes I had on, I didn't even own them. I had to get them from a thrift store. They wouldn't even mind a handout. Can I get an amen? Done lost everything I had. Washing baby bottles in the sink. Washing them in the bathtub. You wash your baby bottles in the bathtub. And then when you get done, you drain it, Clorox it out, and you take a bath in that same tub. That's what Satan will do. That's where he'll lead you. He'll lead you to the bottom of the pit. He'll lead you all the way down to ground zero. He'll put you down there. You say, preacher, you don't know how much I got. That same person that gave you that, he can take it from you this morning. Man, I got to that place and I said, Lord, I need you. I need you. I got in that altar and asked Jesus to come into my life. When I got home that night, my wife can testify to this, I was changed. Instant changed. I don't know why he don't change everybody instantly and some of the things they got going on. I don't know. But he instantly took that from me. Instantly. He removed that from me. This morning, if you feel like you're sinking, you get to an old-timey altar and you do business with an old-timey God, and he will remove it. But there's one thing about it. You got to be honest and you got to be humble. You got to get there and you can't hold nothing back. Well, if anybody finds out I'm in trouble, you're in trouble anyway. If you're sinking, you're sinking. So you need to get your eyes on the storm and continue to sink. Or you can do what Peter did and get your eyes on the Savior. Where are you at this morning? You going to put your eyes on the storms or you going to put your eyes on the Savior? Was it Broken Lives Thursday night and two men gave their life to Jesus? We done had one get saved in here this morning. I'm not going to mention his name. Let me tell you what my prayer was. Today's my spiritual birthday. All week long I prayed. I said, Lord God, make it so clear. Let somebody walk in that church wanting to be saved. Not have to beg them or bribe them or hope they will or just, oh, you know what I mean? If I got to sit up here and beg you and bribe you to be saved and do all that, man, come on. When the Holy Ghost gets on you, you'll know it. He'll get beaten in your heart so hard. He'll be in your mind. He'll be in your flesh. He'll be all over you. You won't have to ask somebody, you think I'm saved? You think I might know Jesus? Oh, no. Somebody big as God is coming and living besides somebody little as me, he's going to stick out. Get your eyes off the storm and get it on the Savior. Let me show you what happened when Peter got his eyes on the Savior. Show you what happened when Peter got his eyes on the Savior. There's a lot going on in the world we live in, but I asked the Lord all week long. I said, this is my spiritual birthday, August 27, 2007, my birthday. I said, Lord, I don't remember preaching on my birthday on a Sunday. I don't remember that. He said, preacher, you crazy. I know. I know. You ask my wife. I pray stuff. So we've turned down mega deals because God wasn't in it. Pray about it. Lay your fleece out. And if it ain't there, I don't do it. Can I get a witness? I said, Lord, would you please this morning tug on somebody's heart to be saved? Would you please just get my eyes off the storms and everybody's problems? Let me for just about 45 minutes look at you high and lifted up. Take me back to that day when I got saved. Well, I didn't have a care in the world when I got up. I didn't have a... That's not what to say. I didn't have a pot. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I didn't have nothing. But when I got up in there, you thought, man, I didn't care. I was happy. First time in my life I'd ever had true joy. I said, Lord, won't you just send somebody to church this morning? I'm talking about just want to be saved. I was standing up here right before prayer room. This man come busting in the back doors, come flying up where I was at. He looked me dead in the eyes, and you tell me, whatever you think, that's your business. He looked me dead in the eyes. He said, I need to be saved. I said, huh? Huh? You need to be, huh? He don't know what I've prayed. I don't know what he's got going on, but all I know is I've prayed, Lord, you send somebody on my birthday that I might be able to lead them to you. So, preacher, what'd you do? Tell them your experience? No, I didn't, because my experience ain't their experience. But my Jesus can be their Jesus. So I took that old King James Bible. I started with her, and I'm just going to probably end with her, Brother Les. Can I get amen? I took that old King James Bible, and I turned it over there to Romans chapter number 10, verse number 8, 9, and 10, where he said, the word is nigh unto thee. Romans 10, 8 said, he said, here's what it says. He said, the word is nigh unto thee. It's already in your mouth. It's already in your mouth. And it's already in your heart, but you just ain't saved yet. It's already in your mouth. You talk it, you hear it, you listen to it, and it's already in your heart. You say, how can it be in your heart and not be saved? That seed's been planted. Yes, sir. That seed's been planted in that heart, and he's waiting on you to confess Jesus. And when it does, that thing starts growing. Then that man got on the floor, and I read him in the Bible where it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That man gave his life to Jesus this morning. That may not be much for a lot of folks, but I want you to know when I pray, I thank God when he answers, don't you? Let me show you this, what happens when you get your eyes off the storm and get them on the Savior. Look with me, if you will. Oh, my goodness, it's 5 minutes after 12. I'm getting paid by the hour and older by the minute. Satan just pushed me over my limit. All week long, that's where he's pushed me this week. He has pushed me to places that I say, Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. You have no power over this body. You have no power over this life. You got to go. Show you what. We can look to the storm or we can look to the Savior. Look at me in verse 31. And immediately, when you look to Jesus, it ain't something you got to wait on. Immediately. Jesus, save me. And immediately. Look what happens immediately. It's not no twofold. It's a onefold. Ain't no twofold. It's onefold. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. Why? Because he was falling. He was sinking. This morning I wonder who I'm talking to. Man, you know you're falling, you're sinking, and you just need Jesus to catch you. Oh my goodness. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him and said unto him, oh, thou little faith, wherefore did thou doubt? And they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. Number one, let me give you this in closing. When you look to the Savior will rescue you. And immediately. Number two, when you look to the Savior will restore you. You know where he put him? Back in the ship. Back where he should have been all along. Put him back in the ship. Jesus is the water walker, not me. Just saying. The Savior will rescue you. He will restore you. He'll put you back in where you're supposed to be in the ship. He'll put you back into safety. And he'll put you back right where the Savior wants you to be. I'll give you this. Not only when you look to the Savior, he'll rescue you. He'll restore you. But he'll redeem you. He'll redeem you. He buys back that old man and gives you a new man. Turn with me to Titus 2:14 in closing this morning. Titus 2:14. When you look to the Savior, he'll redeem you. Oh. Had a revival 2 years ago. It'd been 14 years I'd been saved. I called one of my old buddies, going to invite him to church, and he had me on speakerphone. I said, hey, man, I'd like to invite you to church. And another guy I know was in the background. He said, tell that dope head we ain't coming to church. He's living a fairy tale. He's living a fairy tale. If I'm living a fairy tale, let me dream on. Boy, I'm telling you, old Satan wants me to quit. He wants me to throw the towel. Am I talking to anybody? You get your eyes off that storm. You get your eyes on that storm, and he wants you to quit. He wants you to think it's better on the other side. It's better where you came from. Get back out there. But you listen to him. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning. Get your eyes off the storm. You've lighted on it way too long. You've looked at the world. It's time to look at the Savior. It's time to look at who bought you back. Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity, all sin, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority, and let no man despise thee. Sixteen years ago, I had no clue what God was going to do in my life. Preaching is not what saved me, Brother Jake. It's just a little bonus. Just a little bonus, being saved. Let me spread the gospel. My righteousness was not there. I told them boys at Broken Lives the other night, I said, don't you let no preacher come in here and tell you there's any other way to be saved but that at the blood of Jesus Christ. He'll save you and he'll set you free. This morning I'm talking to somebody, I guarantee you, that the storms of life has got you sinking. And you've sunk long enough. You know, if you keep sinking, you're going to drown. We was at that place this week down there at Destin. Ryder was in the kiddie pool. Water wasn't a little over ankle deep. I had on the sign, Sister Holly. Here's what it had on the sign. Says, Kim, here's what I had on the sign. Said, be careful for drowning. I stood in it, it wasn't even in my calf muscle. I said, there ain't no way a kid can drown in this. So I put my straw hat on, my glasses on, and I sat down with no shirt on, getting a suntan. Y'all don't go to the beach with your shirt on. Had to get me a suntan. And Kaylee's laying over there, and I ain't paying a bit of attention. I know I ain't heard right in the last 2 seconds. She's hollering, Daddy, he's drowning! But the sign told me I can't. The sign told me to watch, but I wasn't paying attention. And I went over there, and I got to where he was at, and I jerked him up. He was on the water. I reached down, I grabbed him, jerked him up. He said, how easy did you get him? Oh, I didn't do this, J.D. I didn't do this. Son, I reached down and got a hold of that joker. You hear me? Up in that water we come. And I stood him up and started slapping the fire at him on the back. And the first thing I said when I looked over there, y'all know what it was. Don't you tell you, mama. Don't you tell you, mama. Daddy, you should have been watching him. I said the water wasn't deep enough to drown then. It's a kiddie poo. It wasn't that deep. What I'm trying to tell you this morning is Peter didn't get that deep. He didn't walk that far when he went to Jesus, but he began to drown. You can either look at the storm or you can look at the Savior. If I'd have not looked, he'd have drowned in that kiddie pool because he didn't know to just stand up. He didn't know just to rise up. He went from laying flat down to rolling over. He just kept rolling over on that water. And when I seen that kid doing that, I said, that's what's going on in the Christian life. We're drowning because we won't stand flat-footed, stand up and say, I won't do that no more. That's not allowed here. That's not allowed around me. That's not allowed here. Stand flat-footed and say, no. I'm not going to drown no more. I'm going to stand. But he didn't know to stand. Sister Christy, you know what he knew to do? Only what he knew what to do was keep rolling and rolling and rolling and rolling. And I think I'm talking to somebody this morning, they just keep rolling and rolling and rolling in their sin. They're just rolling and rolling and rolling and rolling and rolling. And all you have to do is stand up. Get your eyes off the storm and get your eyes on Jesus. Because my Bible tells me he's high and lifted up. He's been given a name that's greater than any name. A better name. A bigger name, a bolder name, and a name you can believe in, the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. This morning, I just want to ask you a question. If the storms are raging, what are you doing about it? Are you continuing to look at that storm and complaining and whimpering and belly aching and whining? Or are you finally saying, I ain't worried about you. I'm going to look at my Jesus. I'm going to look at my Jesus. I'm going to put my eyes on my Jesus, and I ain't going to wallow around no more. This morning, if you think you are sinking, you know, get to this altar. Get to this altar. Say, preacher, it ain't much. It don't take much to drown you. But it takes a lot to stand up. Father, I love you and I thank you for this day, Lord God. I thank you for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I thank you for this place. I thank you for the attentive ears this morning. Father, I see it on the people's faces this morning. Father, I see it all over this room, people's faces as they look. Lord, no longer looking down, flipping and flopping, but they're looking. They want to get out of that drowning place. They want to get away from the storms of this life. And the only way we can do that is get in the arms of Jesus. Storms are going to come. They're going to blow and they're going to beat. But there's not nothing that can come against the blood of Jesus. Lord, whoever I'm talking to this morning that may be lost, let them come be saved. Whoever's backslidden, let them come rededicate that life. And whoever's wallowing around drowning, this morning let them stand up. Put their eyes on you. In Jesus' name. And all of God's people say, amen. Amen. I ask